You'll have to go on to the batteries. Craig was emptying the drawers beneath the other bunk now. Take a look at the instruments, buddy. It's getting mighty dark, mighty quick. Those solar cells are already down to less than 30% nominal, right? Dex glanced at the panel instruments. The solar panel's output hovered just above 25% of their maximum output. Right, he replied dismally. So don't just sit there, Craig called, almost jovially. Get up and find the duct tape, for crying out loud. Dex thought, this is just busy work. We won't be able to keep the panels covered once the storm hits. Wind speeds are going to go over 200 knots, for Christ's sake. That'll rip off anything we try to cover the panels with. But he pushed himself out of the chair, wormed his way past Craig, and started searching through the supply lockers, grateful for the chance to be doing something active instead of just sitting and watching the storm come up and smother them. Night, Sol 58. Wiley Craig ran the beam from his hand lamp across the rover from nose to tail. "Well, it ain't a thing of beauty," he said, "but it ought to get the job done." Standing beside him, Dex thought that the rover's top looked like a Christmas present wrapped by clumsy children. Bedsheets, plastic wrapping, a tarpaulin, even several sets of spare coveralls, sliced apart to cover more area, were spread over the solar panels and taped down heavily. "Do you think they'll stay put once the wind starts up?" he asked. Craig was silent for a moment, then said, "Oughta. Wind must be pretty near 70 knots already, and they're not flapping." Dex could hear the wind keening outside his helmet, softly but steadily, becoming insistent. He thought he also heard something grating across his suit's outer skin, like fine grains of sand peppering him. He could almost feel the dust scratching against him. It was fully dark now. Dex felt tired, physically weary, yet his insides were jumpy, jittery. In the light from Wiley's lamp, he could see that the air was clear, no dust swirling, none that he could see. Yet there was that gritty rasping on the suit's hard shell. "We could have driven another hour," he said to Craig. "Maybe. Hell, Wiley, I've driven through snowstorms in New England." Despite his words, Dex's voice sounded quavery, even to himself. "This ain't the Massachusetts Turnpike out here, buddy." "So what do we do now, just sit and bite our nails?" "Nope. We're going to collect all the data we can. Then we're going to have dinner. Then we're going to get a good night's sleep." Dex stared at Craig's space-suited figure. "He doesn't sound worried at all. The goddamned fuel cells are leaking, and the solar panels are shut down, and we'll have to live off the batteries for God knows how long, and he's as calm and unruffled as a guy riding out a blizzard in a first-class ski lodge." "Okay, boss?" Dex asked, trying to sound nonchalant. "What do you want me to do now?"
"You go inside and check the fuel cells. Make sure all the comm systems are working, and call back to the base. Let them know we're buttoned up for the night."
Dex nodded. "The commsats in orbit will pinpoint our location. If anything happens to us," he thought, "at least they'll know where to find the bodies." Craig whistled tunelessly as he trudged back to the airlock for a Met Geo beacon to plant outside the rover. Dex went back inside and started to take off his hard suit. He knew that he should stay suited up and be prepared to go outside in case Craig got into trouble. But he was too tired, too drained, too plain frightened even to think about that. His eyes smarted briefly as he painstakingly vacuumed the dust off his suit. Ozone from the superoxides in the soil, he knew. "We could keep ourselves supplied with oxygen just by dumping some of the red dirt in here," he told himself. Once out of the suit, he went up to the cockpit and stared out at the darkening landscape, feeling his insides fluttering. "I'm scared," Dex said to himself. "Like a kid afraid of the dark." "Scared? Wiley's as calm as can be, and I'm falling apart. Shit." With nothing better to do, he checked the communications file for incoming messages. The usual garbage from the base, plenty of satellite data about the approaching storm, and a message marked personal for him. Only one person in the solar system would be sending me a personal message, Dex thought. With a mixture of anger and relief, he tapped the proper keys and saw his father's glowering, skull-like face appear on the rover's control panel screen.
Just what I need, he thought. Comic relief from dear old Dad. Well, Jamie said to the five of them, we're as ready for the storm as we can be. So at a possum and Dex, said Stacy Dezhurova. He wants to be called Wiley, Jamie reminded her. Dezhurova sighed dramatically. Ah, the male ego. Perhaps I should change my name, too. They were sitting around the galley table, picking at their dinner trays. No one seemed to have much of an appetite, despite the hard labor they had put in getting ready for the storm. Vijay asked lightly, what name would you choose for yourself, Stacy? Not Anastasia, Dezhurova answered quickly. And not Nastasia either. It's too complicated.
I think Anastasia is a pretty name, Rodriguez said. I like it.
Then you can have it, Dezhurova said.
They all laughed, nervously. Jamie wondered if he should tell them about Trumbull's move to replace him as mission director. It affects them as much as it does me. More, in fact. Yet he remained silent, unready to burden them with the political maneuverings going on back on Earth. That's a different world, Jamie said to himself. We've got our own problems to face here, our own realities. It all seemed so unreal to him, so remote and intangible, like the ghost stories his grandfather would make up for him when he was a child, like the legends of first man and first woman when the world was new. This is the new world, he realized. Mars. New and clean and full of mysteries. I can't let Dex and his father turn it into a tourist center. I can't let them start to ruin this world the way they destroyed the world of the people. That's why I've got to fight them. A new understanding flooded through him. It was as if he'd been lost in a trackless wilderness, and suddenly a path opened up before his eyes, the path to harmony and beauty and safety. I can't let them bring tourists here. I can't let them start to tear up the natural environment so they can build cities and colonies, bring climbers to Olympus Mons, build ski runs. I've got to fight them. But how?
Listen to that.
Jamie's attention snapped back to the galley, the dome, and his five fellow explorers. The wind had keyed up to a higher pitch. He watched their five faces as they stared up into the shadows of the dome. Something creaked ominously.
The dome is perfectly safe, Fujita said to no one in particular. It was designed to withstand the highest winds ever recorded on Mars, with a huge safety factor added in.
Then what made that noise? Trudy Hall asked, her voice small and hollow.
The dome will flex a little, Jamie told them. Nothing to worry about.
Really?
Trudy seemed utterly unconvinced. Jamie made a smile for her. Really? In fact, if it didn't flex, if it was built to remain totally rigid, it might crack under a high enough wind load.
Like the mighty oak and the little sapling, Vijay said.
Oh, yes. I know that one, Hall said,
looking slightly relieved.
The oak stands firm against the hurricane and gets knocked down, while the sapling bends with the wind and survives.
Exactly.
Dezhurova pushed up from the table. I'm going to check the outside camera views and see if the dust is obscuring them yet.
Good idea, said Jamie.
He got to his feet, too. I'll put in a call to Wiley and Dex, check on how they're doing. Vijay turned to Fujita.
How does your ankle feel?
Not bad, the biologist replied. I can walk on it without much pain.
Then let's check out the garden one more time before going to bed.
Jamie thought Stacy suppressed a smirk at Vijay's mention of bed. Rodriguez got up from the table. Come on, Trudy. I'll play you a round of space battle.
Not with you, Tommy. You're a shark. Besides, I won't be able to concentrate on the game with this storm on top of us.
Rodriguez went around to her chair. Come on. I'll give you 10,000 points handicap. It'll be fun. Take your mind off the storm. She got up. Reluctantly, Jamie thought. Jamie felt glad that their electrical power came from the nuclear generator, which would not be affected by the storm. He followed Stacy to the comm center, forcing himself not to turn back to look at Vijay.
As Dex stared at the blank screen on the rover's control panel, he could still see his father's image, like the retinal glow.